And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to the Green Room.
Welcome, everybody. This is In the Green Room, and I'm Kinga.
I'm Quita.
And I'm Brian.
And you guys know the motto. It's saving the planet
one show at a time.
And we have such an exciting show. We've got so much going on tonight. We've got a giveaway, and it's the coolest little... How do we describe it? It's a cement planter. And so I hope you guys are on Facebook. It's In the Green Room. .Green is our Facebook page.
Is it www.
No. It's Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you're going to go to In the Green Room. .Green. That's the little at signal. Now, you can go to In the Green Room. .Green, the website, and you can listen to us live there as well.
Okay, because listen, Brian and I were at the spring training game today.
Yes.
And I was telling people in the green room.green. And Brian said, no, it's www.inthegreenroom.green.
Now, that is okay if you just want to listen. That is, Brian, you were right. And Kinga, you were right. Guys, I'm going to play the mediator here for a second. In the green room.green. Remember that for all of our pages, and you will find us. So the www. So Kinga's giving away our age because the young crew now, they don't say www, but we're going to say that.
But I don't want to say it, but Brian said we have to say it. Brian's begun.
Well, Brian's giving away his age, too.
It's today, but tomorrow might be different. You know?
Well, before we get into the show, I want to make sure people who are listening know how they can win this awesome prize from Beneficial Beings. All you have to do, go on our Facebook page. The first three comments to tell us what you did today to make the world a better place, you're going to win those cement planters.
What is that? What are you
Beneficial
talking about?
Beneficial Beings. So they are one of our guests tonight, and they are so awesome because what they do is they help adults get into, or they help, I'm sorry, people with autism kind of get into the real world. They make these awesome things. They've got all types of gardening stuff there. And they're all handmade from these kids. Right, guys?
It's amazing.
It's pretty amazing. So I can't wait to hear more from them because they are going to represent themselves a whole lot better than me.
And you being the garden expert with your garden.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what got me even more excited because, guys, it's all about being more self-sustainable, self-sufficient, and leaving the world. Brian, what's your little saying? Leave it
better than you found it.
I think if we have that mentality, the world will definitely be a better place. Absolutely.
So we have these wonderful guests sitting right here. Can we say hello?
Yes, Mr. Dennis. Dean and Dennis. They're showing us
the double D's.
The double D's.
Say
they
hi,
knew
double
we
D's.
Were going to call them that today.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Thank you for having us on the show today. We're very excited to come here and share some of our knowledge and background as tribal businessmen and tribal leaders and tribal entrepreneurs as well. And this age of sustainable energy, and share with you some of the trends that are going on in the country and throughout the world. And Dean here and I have been working together for a while, and we got some exciting projects we're working on that we want to share with people. And go ahead, Dean here.
Okay, so before Dean says anything, I want to say that Dean is a world bull rider.
Steer wrestler,
yeah. And also hockey player.
Hockey player, yes.
We got our producer real excited. Hockey.
So what team did you play for?
I ended up playing with.
You have to speak into the mic.
My junior career in Canada, and played for the Red Deer Rustlers, and then from there I went to University of North Dakota.
What position did you play?
Right wing and defense at the end.
Oh, so as a right winger.
Yeah.
As a forward, I hated you because I was a goaltender. So. Right wingers and forwards. Yeah. Defense, I liked you.
Yeah, and then I followed my my instinct. I grew up on a ranch and ended up rodeoing after.
So tell us exactly what you did with the rodeo.
I was a steer wrestler, team roper, and basically went all over the country.
What does a steer wrestler do?
Well, we jump off our horse. Coming out of the chute, there's one on each side. And then I get off the horse and grab the steer by the horns. There's the expression, grab the bull by the horns.
I like that.
And then we the fastest time to throw them down on her side wins the rodeo.
Sounds like my week this week so far.
Tell us more about your week, Brian. No, we can't forget, shouldn't. Too, that we've got Sassy and Sneak Attack. It's Rich and Vanessa, and they've got some gorgeous tunes for us. So we can't forget, because we do a little bit of partying here at In the Green Room. So, Brian, talking about partying, tell us a little bit more about your week.
Well, we did come from a baseball game, so I don't know if Brian did. We were at the – is it Charo?
No. It was the Giants, and I don't even know where they were playing.
But there's so an sad area that's
– But no, we went to the Charo section, and it was very accommodating, very nice.
I have a good friend who was
a Charo, and we met Great Charos. And it's a charity event.
Absolutely.
We had a great time. It was good. It was a little warm.
We told everybody about our show, and they were all excited.
We did.
We have some people tuning in tonight that we met today.
Yeah, hello. No, it's helpful. It was a fun time.
So back to the bull, not bull, steer. What do you call it again?
Steer wrestling.
Steer wrestling. When's the next rodeo so we can come watch you?
Well, I retired from that because my knees, I've had 6 knee surgeries because of that sport. And so I just team rope now. So
for those of you on Facebook that aren't hearing us very well because Mr. Dean and Dennis, they don't want to talk very loud, You can also get very crisp. You can hear it all if you're on the website. You can only listen there, but just do both. Listen and watch, and then we're going to talk a little bit louder, aren't we?
So I want to hear how you both are very sustainable and green, and I know with you.
Well, let's introduce them.
Yes.
I mean, let's understand who they are.
Dean Lewis.
Hi, well, my background is I'm originally from Canada.
Louder, please.
And I was worked in as a banker, investment banker, and then went into the field of the oil and gas field, and developed in all parts of the world. And after that, I was worked for the pipelines, 2 major pipelines. And since,
what did you do for the pipelines?
I was the Indigenous relations manager, and worked with all the tribes across North America on what kind of projects that are being brought to the to their area, and identified what kind of impacts are within their area, and looked at what kind of mitigation that could happen between their tribal sustenances, such as medicinal and herbal ways of life, and try to help reroute some of the pipelines around their sustainable lifestyle that they've been utilizing for thousands of years.
And I think that what I found so intriguing about you guys when Kinga and I were talking about it is, you know, Native Americans had it right. I mean, it's living off the land. It's kind of doing things that we're all trying to learn to do now. So that is so intriguing that you guys are now going back and saying, hey, we're going to develop these lands, make them more sustainable, and show you how to do it yourself. Did I get that right? Is what you're doing?
Correct. And, you know, like we're doing it at one project here and basically turning something that's non-usable, non-renewable, and we're turning it into something that can be utilized and become 100% a green product.
What is the name of your tribe?
My tribe is the Cree Nation, Sampson Cree Nation in Canada.
Calgary?
Just north of Calgary.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Dennis Welsh, your tribe is here, right, in Parker, Arizona?
Yeah, I'm from the Colorado River Indian Tribes. I was born and raised here in Arizona. I grew up working on farms as a kid, and I've been here all my life. I lived here all my life. I'm 42 years old, and I went to University of Arizona after leaving Parker. And I worked there as a kid and grew up on the farms. Last thing I wanted to do was farming. And after I got out of school, I actually went back into farming again. A good friend of mine told me, "Hey, listen, there's a lot of money being made in farming." And he said, "Meet me in Casa Grande." And I went out there, and he had a couple of beat-up semi-trucks, and I go, "What are you doing?" He goes, I'm buying and selling hay. He goes, "You know those farmers, the big old power strokes? You know, they're doing something right, you know? They got houses in Prescott and here and there, and there's a lot of money in farming. Who would have ever known, you know?" Mm-hmm. So we went back, and we started buying and selling hay, and then we picked up some land, and then we got up to about 2,000 acres, and we did that for a good almost nine years, and then the economy fell out, and we learned a lot of things through that venture, and during that time as well, since I was in college, I've always worked with nonprofit organizations down in Tucson, Arizona. I did a lot of volunteer work and was always involved in promoting Native American affairs and not only environmental stuff but also social issues as well, social justice issues and Native American rights. I also did a little work for the San Javier Cooperative Farm, which is kind of way before organic farming came along. Tribes down there were doing organic farming already. They were growing pinto beans and things of that nature and going back to their customary ways of growing crops they grew up with. On the reservation, we grew up eating rabbit and deer and hunting and fishing and all the time, and we lived off the land. I can tell you when I was a boy, I don't consider myself that old, but I'm 42 years old, but the land is a lot different than the way it used to be. You go out there and you hunting today, it's hard to find rabbits, you know. The deer population's down. The old fishing holes we went to, the rivers and lakes we fished, and places we got wood, they're not the same. You know, during the wintertime, the environment's changed. There's not that many ducks anymore. And I have uncles and cousins that are hunting guides, and now they have a hard time. You know, harder every year, it gets harder and harder to find geese and ducks during the winter seasons. And every year we go deer hunting, and it's, you know, less and less and rougher and rougher. And because of farming, a lot of it's because of farming and urban development and housing development. A lot of Californians moving to Arizona, and as you all know, water resource a lot scarcer in both states. But a lot of people are coming over here, and you can see the areas that once were farmland and desert land, and out by what's that place? Dysart area, Avondale area. I remember in high school we used to wrestle out there, and there was nothing but dairy farms there. Now there's nothing but houses there and malls and, you know, and just car dealerships and Home Depots. And I remember there was nothing but farmland back then. And I had the luxury of flying over this area a while back and in a small airplane. And then I flew over it again about 5 years later. And you can see the difference in the just that short time frame. I can remember seeing, wow, that was way different like 5 years ago. And same thing with Tucson. Tucson's starting to grow as well. And there's less and less farm area, which means less and less area for wildlife. And, you know, I think as time goes on, you know, it's kind of sad because our children are missing out on those opportunities to learn how to hunt and fish and take care of themselves, you know. So I think what we're talking about today as far as sustainable energy and learning how to garden and plant, and, you know, it's something that's vital that we all need to do. And as well as, you know, the cars we drive, everything we do, recycling. I've been, you know, my mom and dad were always big into recycling. We used to recycle aluminum cans as kids, and we thought it was the neatest thing to get money back for cans you drank, you know. And now that industry's booming, you know, and now people are making a lot of money off recycling a lot of different products, you know, aluminum being one, metal, you know, being others. And I think it's good that, you know, I think there should be more incentives. The government should be giving more incentives. Not only the government, but corporations as well. They're used to the ones that create most of that byproduct are big corporations. And as you know, you watch politics and read the papers, they're the biggest crybabies, you know, about paying back to society. And as a tribal leader and a tribal businessman, and I'm a former councilman. Yeah, my tribe was council 8 years. But as we say, once you're a leader, you're always a leader. You should always carry yourself that way. You can't stop being a leader once you're a leader, and I always believe that I'm a leader, because anytime I can be a councilman next year or next, you know, or 2 years from now. So you, once you're up there and you get up there, and before I was on council, I always say I was a leader before I was on council. I was doing things since I was a kid. I've been a leader all my life, you know. I was also the treasurer of the National Congress of American Indians, which is oldest and largest Native American organization in the country, founded in 1944, and what we do is we advocate for the rights and the rights of tribes from Alaska, you know, throughout the states as well as Canada and the world. You know, we also have discussions, you know, trying to get our seat without the United Nations as well. And as if you study history and you're aware of the current affairs, throughout the world, indigenous people have been saying this for forever. You know, we're destroying ourselves. You know, we're killing our planet. You know, we're poisoning our rivers. We're taking all our medicine away. Every time you develop cattle ranches down in South America, all these plants that haven't been discovered, that's medicines or cures for diseases and things that plague us today. And everything we have is right here in front of us. You know, man can't make nature. You know, all we do is take from nature. We destroy the things that are going to nourish our minds, our bodies, and our souls, and sustain us for, you know, for the foreseeable, for forever. But
what are some of your thoughts and your solutions?
You know, my thoughts and solutions is educating our children. about recycling. I need to educate educating our children about gardening and farming, and you know, the going back to the basics. You know, respecting the land, respecting animals, and never taking more than you need. I don't believe in sport hunting. I think it's terrible to go out and shoot animals to put it on your wall.
I agree.
Or waste anything for that matter, whether it's water, whether it's forestry. You know, I think even off-roading, you know, you're tearing up the environment. You're destroying ecosystems, you know, with all these off-road vehicles today. And on our reservation, we're pretty strict on it. They'll fine you, you know. A lot of reservations here in the state, you know, you can't just go and pull off the road and drive an ATV wherever you want to. You can get fined pretty heavily, as well as taking wildlife as well.
Your reservation is very beautiful. We drove through it. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, we have a lot of, I mean, our reservations, if you go on your way to Havasu or anywhere, you drive through different reservations, you see them. They're gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
If you look at the map of the United States, you'll notice the most greenest parts of the world, I mean, of the country, are Indian reservations or federal lands or state lands. They're the last, you know, frontier. And as we'll probably talk about a little more with all the stuff going on with Standing Rock, I'm sure you guys heard of the whole movement out there with the tribes fighting big oil. You know, that's for everybody. It's not just for us. It's for not just for Indian people. It's for everybody, for everyone's children. There's big water resources there that can be contaminated and destroy, you know, vast amounts of water and affect all people, not just Native people. And, you know, have you went on the internet or watched the movement on social media, Facebook? You know, people were laying down their lives there. People were standing in front of bulldozers and freezing, getting sprayed by police and gas and attacked by dogs. Just to save the environment, because it's that important to us.
That's so sad, too. And if you think about it, like you were saying, you say one of the solutions is teaching our kids and it's education. Mm-hmm. But how do you suggest, because we've talked about this before, some kids don't know that food comes from gardens. They think it just comes from the grocery store. But with this age being such a technology age, how do we take them from the video games and all of the fun matrixy type of stuff and get them actually interested in this?
You got to go the old fashioned way and jump on a bus and take field trips, visit farms again, you know, and as extra credit, I think there's a lot of small farms around here that you can go and see. The family should take their kids out there rather than go to the zoo and see animals in captivity, but actually take them out. At the same time, though, we got videos. You have virtual tours. You can sit in the classroom and go on these tours and see places that, you know, educate them through technology.
Here's what our show is about, right?
Brian, tell us. Brian,
is educating people about stuff in the community, like yourself, Dennis,
yes,
and what you do, and what you're talking about as an experience for somebody, they normally wouldn't understand that. So what's good for us, and, you know, as the president of the Arizona Green Chamber here in Arizona, I like to dumb it down for people, you know, and I like to explain to them, you know, because nobody understands what sustainability means or green means.
Mm-hmm.
Means so much. But community and what you're doing, that's the most important part of what I call sustainability for our just well-being. Okay, so we need to understand how we can help you, because because you are a part of our society, our community, and it's important that we all collaborate, come together, and work together so we can have the best of everything, you know, where we're all working together. I mean, that, to me, is the way of the future. Right?
And, Brian, you were talking about the Arizona Green Chamber, and you were talking about these tours, and, Brian, didn't the Arizona Green Chamber just have something similar going out to Sing Meadows and showing people some of the things that...
Exactly. Yeah. And Ken Singh was, I believe it's the, I forget which tribe it is.
Okay.
But yeah, he had such a great following at Thomas and the 101 on an Indian tribe. And the parking was becoming such a problem that they were parking along Thomas, which was creating a problem. But the facility there, they still use it as the farm. It's 20 acres. And Ken Singh just opened up a farm in Tempe along the Greenbelt. So, but Ken respects the land,
mm-hmm,
and the opportunities. And he grows the produce so we can eat it. You know, He's very community oriented, and I just feel like the tribes and the Indians and all that is our best partner.
Well, because you're showing people how to do it, and that's what it's about. I think, I mean, we all have to make a living, but I think there's so many businesses out there who, like you say, try and be greedy to show people things that we've been doing, our ancestors did, Mother Nature does it on its own. Like Brian was talking about the Green Chamber, I have a website, greendesert.org, and that really is the basis of what we do. It's show people how to do what we all should be doing anyways, but it's free. It's not something we're saying you have to pay to learn how to garden, because it's something that we should all be doing anyways, and why should you have to go broke trying to help the environment that we all have to live in, right?
Dennis and Dean, do you have any gardens on the reservation?
Well, he had something else here.
Well, just to expound on the last topic there.
Yes.
You know, it all boils down to what type of industries are impacting the land. And when industry is impacting the land, there should be some kind of levy to be able to say, this is what the educational process you must put to leave a footprint for the next generation to be able to identify, this is what industry did, and this is what industry is doing to help identify new solutions in the future. And that's what it's all about, is getting the youth to be able to identify what are the problems. And, you know, like you say, video games and whatnot. But identify what is the problem, because our solutions are, we all share the land. And it has to be a common goal to be able to identify what are the solutions. So mm-hmm. there's not enough groups. They're working in silos versus working together. Mm-hmm. From industry, municipalities, and tribes. So at some point, we all got to come together and identify a sustainable type of coexistence.
I have a good question for, actually, Dean. I know you live in Calgary, Canada, and we spoke about this at that convention in Las Vegas, the reservation convention we were at, that the sustainability in Canada is much more, people are more, way more into sustainability and green and recycling than they are here.
That's correct. And, you know, I'm not judging or anything, but the green movement in Canada from industry is now being done by the federal government in order to ensure that the footprint and also any damages are mitigated, and also that if they are going to be polluting the air, the water, we have the technology and the ability to be able to find them properly, to be able to say, hey, big industry, you just can't come in here and do what you want. And a lot of that movement has happened in Canada.
You gave me a specific example of the building that goes on in Canada versus a relative that's building in Dallas or Houston or Texas somewhere.
Yes.
Can you tell me what you told me this weekend?
Well, you know, the from the construction side of the, I'll give a prime example, oil and gas. The levels of water, what we do with our water, and how we got to dispose of a produced water is a lot different than here, and also of how you're utilizing the footprint of your the lease and where you're developing the oil is a lot more stringent. And being a developer producer from Canada and coming and developing in the U.S., we were extremely shocked of how the health and safety was not on par of what we're used to, and also how you utilize and where you put disposal of your of the waste that you're bringing up. So those were things that we found very, very alarming for us.
Well, you were specific about the water, some of the equipment, yes. Taking equipment through the water.
Yes. Well, like, for example, when we cross a river, we got to get permits, and we actually have to build a bridge over the water. We cannot cross the water. We cannot, and down here in the U.S., you could just truck your machinery through the river as you please.
As opposed to in Canada, you have to build a bridge, and you can't take your dirty equipment through the water, correct?
That's correct.
That's amazing. That needs to change.
Yeah. It's a lot of things need to change, and yeah. We all have to do our part. I think you guys know, we say it all the time. We all think the problem is bigger than us. There's nothing we can do. But if everybody did just a little bit, it makes a huge difference. We all have to live here. Not a whole lot we're going to do to control the population, but we definitely have to do something to be more efficient so there's something left for generation after generation.
Well, and it's important for me, for our show, that we recognize that you guys, the tribal, where you have associations and committees, you all want to make a difference. And to me, that's the most important part of the show today.
Yes.
Is that you guys are passionate. You want to do it right. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. And we're all community, man. And
that's
it's
right.
Great.
You know, I was thinking about, you asked me a question, like what can we do to make things better? What are we doing? I think the first thing we need to do in the state of Arizona here at home, or we start here at home, mm-hmm. is that we educate people about the tribes of Arizona. We educate our children about mm-hmm. not just the history of Arizona, but where we are today. Mm-hmm. You know, people have all these misconceptions and stereotypes about who mm-hmm. we are as Native people. Yeah. You know, right here in the state of Arizona, there's 21 tribes here. Mm-hmm. It's one of the largest populations of American Indians in the whole country. Mm-hmm. There's the tribes here have about 30% of the land base still that's held in trust for them in their reservations. And also we have the over half of the state's water is allocated to the reservations. My tribe alone has 719,000 acre feet. The state of Arizona has got 2.4 million acres feet. Gila River has about 600,000. So that's about 1.3 million acre feet. That's just two tribes,
right,
plus all the other tribes. So and part of that, the reason why we have those water rights is because we believe that because we protect the water, mm-hmm. and we've been here for so long and our footprint's so huge, you can't deny the fact that our civilizations flourished here at one time. And the Ho'okam, the Gila River tribes, you had the Salt River tribe, the Fort McDowell tribes, the Ok'ichan tribes, the Tonawatam tribes, the Pascua-Yaqui people. And this whole area was all tribal land. People think that Indians lived down in the middle of nowhere. No, we lived where the river was. We lived where the water was. We lived where the best grazing land was, where the best trees were. And we got pushed out of those areas. All these areas in eastern Arizona, you see these big ranches that are beautiful. That was our land. That's where we lived. We didn't want to live out in the middle of nowhere where it was desolate, no water supplies. And any human society that you look throughout the world, they all revolve around water. They all revolve around life. And life, water is life. And that's one of the things that people had to learn, that, you know, that what was going on in Standing Rock, what's still going on, didn't stop, it's still going on, is that water is life. Without water, we have nothing. And I think right here in Arizona, I think there's so many misconceptions about tribal people that people automatically put down walls. The average school children doesn't know nothing about Native Americans. People right across the street, right mm-hmm. there is Salt River. I mean, really, it's a Salt River land. Gila River, right down mm-hmm. the Singh farm, the farmer you're talking about, that's on Gila River land. They have about 16,000 acres they farm at Ok'ichan. Gila River farm is probably about 20,000. Our tribe farm, our land, about we farm about 15,000, but our whole farming area on our reservation is 90,000 acres, and they have big farmlands as well. But so if we want to see farms, they're right here. They're not very hard to access. We want to take our children and see these farms, and there's Hispanics farming there, blacks, whites, Native people. Everyone's farming there. It's a way of life, and we get along. You know, we get along perfectly well because we have to. We all have to work together, and I'm. Not to get political, but I'll be realistic though. I'll tell you right now, I was born and raised in the fields, and I know with this whole administration on deportation of so-called quote unquote illegal immigrants who are really Native people, mm-hmm. those are indigenous people. There was no borders here, you know, before Europeans came. But the best farmers, some of the best farmers in the whole wide world are Hispanic people, they're Native people. They have the greenest thumbs. I tell everyone, I laugh, you know all those farms in Parker? You know so-and-so's farms, so-and-so's farms? Guess who the farmers are? Mexicans. They're the ones that grew all. That guy, he rides around a pickup truck all day long and watches things and collects some money, but the Mexicans are the ones who are doing the work. Mm-hmm. The Indians are the ones who are doing the work. I don't see no no non-Indians out there, no non-Mexicans. I don't see them picking lettuce or chopping weeds. I worked their whole life, and I never see anybody, you know, Anglo descent walking to the fields with us working. We're the ones that water the fields, till the fields, pick them, harvest them. So for with this country without Native people, Hispanic people, Mexicans, whatever, you know, whatever we're labeled as, you know, it would collapse. The agriculture industry would really collapse.
Well, and Dennis, I don't want to get political either, but I 100% agree with you.
And you're my brother. That's why I tell you that. That's why I'm here.
Yeah,
we totally agree with you.
Yeah, no, because that's why I came here.
Because it's refreshing to me because community and people that care about things and the way we grow and our families, we want to leave it better than when we found
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And you have rich resources and land. And there's a stereotype that we need to get around. And it doesn't just involve Latinos and whatever. It's everybody. I mean, we all have to come together.
Exactly.
What the
exactly. The reason why I said what I said was because... The reason why I said what I said is because I'm not on the radio every day. But I have this one opportunity to tell the truth. And I believe in telling the truth. You don't hear it on CNN. You have these... People in Washington, D.C. talking about this. They don't know what's going on.
Right.
You got to hear from the people. And then we're the people here. This is the largest Hispanic population in the country. You know, there's this state right here. And we all live together fine. We get along fine. You know, we all coexist. There's enough room for everybody here. And I just think that I have the opportunity to say something.
Yeah.
And I heard you have 7 million listeners. So hopefully they heard me. Loud and clear.
Yeah, I think And speaking of listeners, too, you had a great idea when you talked about tours. So we want to make sure people know how to find you. We had a Facebook fan here, Elizabeth Bartels, who says, a field trip, it's such a good idea. Maybe we can collaborate with elementary and middle schools to start.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a place to go. Like you said, it's right here. You don't have to leave. It's right here. Great comment, by the way, Elizabeth.
All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah, there's definitely the local farm managers available. You know, they can get a hold of us here and we can set things up and they would love to take kids. I mean, even growing up, we had little tiny farms. People had small animal farms. I had a pretty good sized little animal farm as a kid. And it's the funniest thing to go out and see rabbits and goats and sheep. And it opens your mind up to so much. I mean, that's the children where it's going to start. You know, some people, you can't retrain old people. You know, some people.
That's right.
But well, children, they're the ones that are gonna—they're the ones who carry on our torch.
Well, we would love for you too to be the voice of your tribes and come on our show and really help us save this planet because I think that if you're spreading it to all your people,
well, no, it's different. It's called your community,
right?
We would like to mirror it and understand so we can all relate. So we understand, and it's a place to visit. And understand what you're doing for the community. We have to start putting people in the word community. It's everybody.
It's as you said, you know, this is one community.
Yeah.
I always tell people back home, there's four tribes on my reservation. I always said, no. Well, there's the Mojaves, the Chimwaves, Navajos, Hopis. Everyone tries to draw lines between the four tribes. At the middle of the day, the federal government doesn't care. They just see one tribe here.
That's right.
They don't say, oh, that guy's Navajo or that guy is Chimawavy. No. We're one tribe.
That's right.
And we're one community. We're one state. We're one country. When people get that ingrained in their head that, you know what, we're all one people, then things will change.
That's
what
matters.
Love it.
Right?
Love it.
So, guys, we definitely are going to want to hear more from you. But since we're speaking gardening, we do have another guest coming up, Beneficial Gardens. And we're excited because they even have a little giveaway. So they're talking gardening and they're doing a whole lot of teaching over there, too. But we can't forget the music. We've got Sassy and Sneak Attack. They're going to come on up and do a little bit of singing. And I have to tell you, Vanessa, who is the vocalist, she has a lot in common with you guys.
I'm so excited to hear.
She has a huge background and things she's learning and doing that is very much self-sustainable. Vanessa, tell us a little bit about Miss Vegan and Naturopathic School and all that you're doing right now before we hear the voice of you singing.
Oh, yeah. So I recently started to, probably about a year now, I've done the vegan path and just trying to really... Trying to just, like he said, you know, like trying to help do more all plant-based diet and not harming animals, kind of being an advocate for that. But I also am going to school for naturopathic medicine, because that's how much I believe in this going green and like doing all natural.
I want to come to you.
Yeah, right.
When do you graduate?
Yeah.
How long is the schooling?
Well, it's like, you know, 10 years. Call me in 10 years. All right. Yeah, I know, but.
What are you going? Tell us a little bit about how you got started singing and what you're going to start off singing for us tonight. And we can't forget Miss Rich here.
Mr. Rich, yes.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Rich. Hi. Welcome.
Music's always been like a passion for me. I've always. You know, it's kind of grew up in a lot of musical people in my family. And I ditched a day job and went for this. Probably it's been like 8 years now.
You don't look that old.
Well, I mean, 8 years that she I've been doing it full time, or even more than that, actually. But I had a day job for a while. I was always doing music for longer than that, but I've gone full time about, I think, 8 years almost.
Where do you sing it? And do you have a CD out?
Yes, I do have a CD. I brought some with me too to give
to
you guys.
One?
Yes,
oh,
so I'll
great.
Give you one. And I sing every Tuesday at a place called Casimir's World Wine Bar.
I love Casimir's.
Yes, so, you know, after the show, after you guys tune in here.
Right, she'll be tonight.
Go ahead and meet us over there at Casimir's, yes. 9 to midnight. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I want to come
we're
over.
There, and we're there every Tuesday. So.
All right. Well, give us a reason to come listen to you sing,
right now
Miss
we're
going to
sing some Amy Winehouse, one of my favorites.
All right. Let's do it.
Hey. Will some. Sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water. And I think of all the things, what you're doing. In my head I paint a picture. Oh, yeah, but since I come home where my body's been a mess. And I miss your ginger hair and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? Valerie. Yeah. Valerie. Valerie. Did you have to go to jail? Put your house on the for sale. Or did you get a good lawyer? Hope you didn't catch a tan. Hope you find the right man to fix it for ya. Ooh, and are you shopping anywhere? Change the color of your hair. And are you busy? Did you have to pay that fine? You was dodging all the time. Are you still dizzy? Whoa, well, since I come home where my body's been a mess. And I miss your ginger hair and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie? I said, Valerie, yeah, Valerie, yeah, Valerie, well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water and I think of all the things, what you're doing in my head. Since I come home where my body's been a mess. And I miss your ginger hair and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over? Stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie?
Melissa Mendez and Mr. Rich. Guys, if you like what you heard, you can hear a little bit more of her tonight. You said it's at Cashmere's 9 p.m.?
Mm-hmm. 9 p.m., 9 to midnight.
Beautiful, beautiful voice.
Your voice is angelic. Thank you so much. So we'll hear a little more from her later, too.
Yes. Rich?
Yeah. Amazing.
Tell us what you've done today. And guys, get on Facebook because that giveaway is coming up. And Rich is getting put on the spot. He is going to tell us what one thing, this is the answer, the question you guys are going to answer on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Tell me one thing you did today to make the world a better place.
I helped my son break down cardboard boxes and file them into a neatly recycled compartment in our apartment.
Wow.
Look at you doing your part. And hey, guys, I didn't tell him that question beforehand. He really was put on the spot. So I think he's telling the truth.
Yeah, right after school. Yeah, I made him do that. I made the point.
He
knows that it's important, and we try to take care of that at least once a week.
How old is your son?
He's seven.
Seven. Oh, you're starting him early. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, you guys will come back and sing another one for us before the night's over with, right?
Please. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you so much. You guys are
amazing. So, guys, don't forget, we've got a nice little giveaway coming up. Our Facebook page, inthegreenroom.green, the question you're answering. The first three people, and you can't take Rich's answer. That's his answer. You can't have it. No cheating. But the question is, what one thing did you do today to help make the planet a better place? The first three people to answer that question is going to get this nice cement planter, and we're going to get Beneficial Beans over here to talk about this planter and everything you guys are doing. So come on over.
So how did you get the name Beneficial Beans? Is it...
Kinga gets really excited. You know why? Because Kinga hopes that nobody gets on the Facebook page because she wants these cement planters.
I do.
These handmade planters to herself. So Kinga's trying to still, guys, don't let her win. Get on there and make your comment. So we've got right now, this is Miss Sarah Groney. I know I want to say grown because you are grown. But
hi, Sarah.
Hi.
So tell us a little bit about Beneficial Beans, because you guys are really doing your part in so many ways of helping adults with autism and at the same time helping the world be more self-sustainable. How are you doing that?
So Beneficial Beans is a social enterprise business of SARC, the Southwest Autism Research and Resource Center. And we provide internship opportunities for adults with autism through both our garden and cafe businesses. And our garden is a completely sustainable organic practice garden, raised beds right in the heart of Central Phoenix. And we have a chicken coop. We make and sell our own planters by hand and provide a CSA program, community supported agriculture, where customers can come and pick up produce every week.
That is amazing.
And you know what? This is unbelievable.
So how do we sell our business?
No. Here.
Okay, Brian.
What are the cross streets? Like, where is this at and how do we sign up? Because I'm looking at this. You can get produce for $20 a week.
Yeah. And we're at 16th Street
anybody
in
McDowell.
Can? Anybody can? You can.
Brian can?
16th Street in Campbell?
Everybody except Kinga.
McDowell. 16th and McDowell. Did you hear that?
16th Street in McDowell. So tell us about this garden and... Because everything pretty much is done by these adults with autism, right?
Correct.
Tell us about this. How did this come about, and why is this good for them, and why is it good for us?
Beneficial Beans started with coffee as a wholesale coffee business. We opened a cafe at the Scottsdale Civic Center Library and just opened our second cafe at the Burton Bar Library. Mm. And then the garden was a place for people with autism to learn social skills. Mm. And 2 years ago, we integrated into Beneficial Beans and made it a full business. So we'd like to say that all of our businesses are dress rehearsals for work for these adults with autism who may not have anything to put on the resume.
This is such a wonderful idea, and I don't know who came up with this, but it's just amazing, and I've never heard of it.
Well, no, we're going to promote
We're going to promote it huge.
You know, because so picking up farm and you're constantly growing, we need people to be there to take it, right? So we
yes.
can make, grow more. So this... Your pricing is like crazy good.
It's pretty great.
Do you know, just really quick, what are the top five, you know, vegetables or produce that are involved in that $20 package?
This week, tomorrow, uh-huh. on Wednesdays, we harvest. Tomorrow we're harvesting carrots, radishes, tomatoes, Swiss chard, kale, beets.
And it's organic?
Completely organic.
For that price? That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Let's go.
And you want to get out there now because this season is almost getting ready to end and you're going to not have any more greens, right?
True. Summer's coming.
you guys need to go with us the Goodwill Luncheon on the 23rd. Is that what day is that?
Yes, the 23rd is this upcoming Thursday, actually.
Okay, Thursday. Tell us about the luncheon so that they can come with us.
Oh, you guys want to come to the luncheon. So bottom line, well, let's go ahead and talk about Goodwill. That is our major sponsor. And we love Goodwill because they are doing exactly what we are trying to get everybody to do. And that's make the world a better place. They recycle. There are so many things. A lot of people think of Goodwill as just clothes, which Brian and Kinga, we talk a lot about. We're going to shop at Goodwill because we're doing our part. But they do so much more. So we are going to this luncheon on this Thursday. We're the ambassadors in the green room. We're the ambassadors. And so the other people,
to be the ambassadors to this amazing Goodwill.
So, but back to you guys, because you guys are really doing your part too. One thing that I found very interesting, you guys said adults with autism, more than 90% of them, they don't work. They're unemployed because they have not gotten the skills. And that's what you guys are trying to do is teach them the skills to be in this world like the rest of us and be able to give me more.
Absolutely. Our interns that come to us all have autism. They're generally adults that have never worked before and really need something to put on their resume. They learn customer service skills, cash handling, how to work with others, how to follow instructions, all these things we need to be successful employees elsewhere. Most of them don't love gardening. A lot of them prefer the cafe, but they don't even love being a barista. They just want to work, and they come to our
Who trains them? Are they volunteers or paid employees?
Paid employees work with them alongside all of our customers that come in, and everyone kind of works together to make this a fully functioning business.
How long has this been around?
Beneficial Beans, maybe 4 or 5 years.
Okay, I'm so excited to spread the word. Brian?
He's over there. Brian is in thought mode.
I am. No, we're going to go visit it, and I'm going to get, when? I'm going to sign up, actually.
Where are we going, Brian?
What?
When are we going?
Kinga is good at putting people on the spot, right? I didn't do that, but
yeah, you're welcome to come.
Of course.
All right,
but I'm going to give you behind the scenes.
I'm going with these ladies.
I know.
Sorry.
I know we are.
And we're going to hook it up.
And Quita, you're going to, and Craig should go.
Kinga likes to tell me what I'm doing.
Craig's going to.
We've got our producer here.
If I'm going to go, I have conditions.
Okay, name them.
Food, and food.
And they have all of that there.
Good.
So, guys, can you tell us about these cement gardens? Is that what you called it, right? Yeah. This is a cement garden. She's giving me the funniest look. If only you can see. So, did I say garden? Because I'm so excited about Beneficial Beans Garden. Anyway, so these planters, tell us about them. They're homemade or handmade.
Yeah, they're handmade by our adults with autism and several volunteers that come in large groups to our garden to volunteer. They are made out of cement and cocoa fiber, very sustainable, and all the proceeds from everything we sell, our produce, our cement planters, our eggs, everything in the cafe goes right back into the program just to make it possible.
You have eggs, too?
We have chicken coop.
I'm obsessed. Yes. I'm on my way. I love eggs.
They are the most spoiled hens you ever meet.
Can we play with the chickens, too?
Absolutely. They even have a chandelier.
Stop it. Stop it, Kinga. Stop it. Stop playing with the chicken.
So these planters would normally be $15.
Correct.
And our first three listeners or Facebookers are going to get this for free. So, guys, don't forget to comment on that, right?
Yes.
So this is exciting. We're definitely going to have your information on our website, so that people know how to find you and can go out there and do their part, because helping these adults with autism is a part of saving the planet, right, guys? It's not just about gardening or self-sufficiency. It's about what you're doing to make the world a better place. And
spreading love.
Right, perfect. Spreading love.
Spreading love. Right,
and how else are we going to spread love? We're going to have some more music.
Bam.
Oh, my gosh. By this angelic voice.
So I'm going to give you guys, as they're setting up, the telephone number. If you want to talk with any of our guests or Kinga, Brian, or myself, or even Craig here, comments, any of that stuff, you can go on our Facebook page, which is inthegreenroom.green, or you can call us that number, 480-421-0640. So now, joining us again, we've got Sassy and Sneak Attack, And they're here with the second jam. It's Rich and Vanessa. Again, if you guys didn't hear them earlier, you're going to be in for a treat right now. And so if you want to hear them again tonight, they're going to be performing at 9 o'clock at Cashmere's. What are you guys singing for us now?
This one's going to be an original song called Fly Places.
Okay. We're on Vanessa's Facebook page. Go ahead and tell us that Facebook page, Vanessa.
Facebook. It's Vanessa Mendez 23.
And she bought.
And there's also Sassy and the Sneak Attack on Facebook as well.
And she bought a couple of CDs too. Yes. And I am willing to give mine away because I'm just going to ask her for another one. If you call, it's only one person getting that CD. Again, that number, guys, 480-421-0640.
Sweet.
All right. What you got? Yes.
All right. Fly Places. Close your eyes and get high with me. And drift away on this melody to a whole new galaxy. Seeing things you ain't never seen. I'll make you feel like you're in a dream. So open up your mind. Keep up if you can. And take my hand. I'll show you the master plan. And we will fly places. As a team, we're magic-making dream machines, producing more than the eye can see. We'll give them something they just can't believe. We're supernova, fire high. We put the haters on a chopping block. We're taking over me and you. I hope you realize, together we can take a step. We hold the world in our hands. We'll fly places in high graces, leave no traces. We be out of this world, out of it.
Sneak Attack. You can catch them again tonight at Cashmere's at 9 p.m. Then we'll have all of their information on our site. We're going to read a comment from one of our winners. And then, guys, we're out of here. This was such a fun show. Yay. It went by so fast.
It was so much fun. And we're so blessed that you were here. Thank you so much for singing. Yeah.
So our first winner of these handmade planters, Letitia Mack. Now, you know, you've won before. She is one of our loyal listeners, guys. So Letitia's comment, she says, "Well, I continue to recycle, although I find it inconvenient. I'd rather just throw it in the trash. You guys inspire me to continue to try. I'm a work in process. Hey, that's a Tuesday testimonial. What do you say about that?
Thank you, Letitia. I want to have her on the show. She's such a big fan.
Letitia's
so
in New York. So you're flying down for the show, Letitia, or call in.
She needs to call in for sure.
So guys, that's it for the night. We want to thank all of our guests. Of course, our sponsor, Goodwill. And hey, don't forget the motto. It's saving the planet
one show at a time. Woo! Woo!
Thank you for listening to In the Green Room. Join us here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or anytime on demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.